Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's Siemens AG conference call. At the beginning, we would like to inform you about the fact that this conference will be recorded and made available online via webcast. After the presentation, you will have the option to ask questions. If you would like to ask questions, please press star one on your phone in order to register for questions. With that, I would like to hand over to today's host, Florian Martens, Head of Media Relations and Executive Communications. Mr. Martens, over to you. Right. Thank you very much, and a good morning to all of our colleagues on the phone lines for today's conference call on Q2 for fiscal 2023. We are very happy to have you here for this quarterly conference call, together with our CEO, Roland Busch, and our CFO, Ralf Thomas. Before we get started, a few housekeeping remarks. This morning at 7:00 A.M., we published our Q2 results. The presentation, as well as our executive board members' speeches, as well as any other documentation, can be found on our website at siemens.com/press. There, you will also be able to find the recording of this conference call after the conference call concludes. Also, as per usual, Mr. Busch will first give you an overview of the finished quarter, including some further details on the market and business developments. Afterwards, Mr. Thomas will further elaborate on the Q2 results, as well as the forecast further. After the speeches, both gentlemen will be available for your questions, and our conference call will end at the very latest at 9:00 A.M. sharp. I would, of course, also like to point out the safe harbor statement, as per usual, which you will find at the beginning of our quarterly presentation. With that, over to our CEO, Roland Busch.
Yes, thank you, Florian, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your interest, and today we'll be reporting on another very successful quarter. Let me start with a few highlights. Although the economic environment remains volatile, we're continuing our outstanding performance and execute our strategy rigorously, and I'm very pleased of all these developments. Over the last few weeks, I've spoken to many customers and partners around the globe, including many at Hannover Fair, and they've confirmed, all of them, time and again, that they all place great trust in Siemens and in our technologies. They also appreciate our in-depth domain know-how. For this reason, we are confident that we'll continue to benefit from robust investment demand. Because all our offerings support our customers' transformation to become more competitive, resilient, and sustainable. At 23.6 billion euros, orders were up 15%, driven by the highest ever quarterly order intake at Mobility, and a very robust demand at Smart Infrastructure, which was up 9%. The book-to-bill ratio totaled an excellent 1.22, pushing the order backlog to a record level of 105 billion. Thanks to these results, we have a very good visibility for the rest of fiscal 2023 and beyond. Supply chain constraints eased further, components are more readily available again, and for this reason, we optimized our production capacity and supplied customers more efficiently. Thanks to our very strong operational performance, revenue increased 15% to a total of more than 19 billion euros. Digital Industries, Smart Infrastructure, and Mobility all contributed equally to this growth. All were above 20%. Our business have again confirmed their leading competitiveness. For example, Digital Industries' automation business once again outpaced its relevant competitors, with revenue up 26%. Smart Infrastructure showed strength at its electrical product and electrification businesses. Revenue at both these businesses grew an outstanding 28%. This growth was impressively reflected in profit of our industrial business, which amounted to 2.6 billion. Digital Industries and Smart Infrastructure achieved all-time highs in their operational profitability levels, 23.5% and 15.9%, respectively. As promised in the first quarter, we've seen huge progress in free cash flow. Industrial business generated free cash flow of 2.7 billion euros, a great achievement. I'll gladly repeat myself. We consistently deliver good figures. We're implementing our strategy rigorously and with great success. With the attractive opportunities in our markets and rising demand for our offerings, our businesses are also making rigorous targeted investments in OpEx and CapEx. I'll give you a few more examples in a moment. The strategic transition to software as a service, or SaaS for short, at Digital Industries is fully on track. Annual recurring revenue, or ARR for short, grew 15% in Q2. Cloud ARR jumped 30% vis-à-vis Q1 to around 840 million euros. It now represents 24% of total ARR. Therefore, we had a very successful first half year. We now want to further leverage our exceptional order backlog and execution strength. This means, despite a volatile environment, we are very confident about the second half year. Therefore, we raise and narrow our guidance for fiscal 2023 for both revenue growth and earnings per share. We are now guiding for revenue growth in a range of 9%-11%, which is an increase by 200 basis points. We clearly lift the range for EPS before PPA, pre-PPA, that is, and we raise it by 0.70, and we expect 9.60-9.90 euros. This excludes the effect from the impairment reversal of our stake in Siemens Energy. Ralf Thomas will go into the details later on. Regarding the figures, I'd like to highlight two further points. Profit margin of the industrial business was 14.2%, excluding a non-cash one-off effect at Siemens Healthineers, we achieved an impressive 15.9%. EPS pre-PPA totaled 2.56. This figure doesn't include the already mentioned increase to the carrying amount of our Siemens Energy stake. This non-cash effect amounts to an additional 2.01 euros. The order backlog reached a record level of 105 billion, primarily driven by strong demand for our systems, solutions, and services. As expected, our customers' order volumes in Digital Industries, product business, and in parts of Smart Infrastructure have normalized again because delivery times were cut and components became more readily available again. The trend will continue in the quarters to come. As a result, the order backlog in the short cycle product and systems businesses will return to a sustainable level. We expect that the backlog at both Smart Infrastructure and Digital Industries will still be high at the start of fiscal 2024. This development will continue to give us a high level of visibility going forward. We are confident that we'll achieve our profitable growth targets because we are strong at executing, we have our supply chain well under control, and we manage manufacturing processes flexibly. The longer-term order backlog at Mobilities and Healthineers project and service businesses promises healthy gross margins. In recent weeks, as part of our strategy discussions, we've also taken a closer look at our medium and long-term prospects. All our businesses are operating in attractive growth markets that are shaped by long-term trends, such as the shortage of skilled workers, increasing demand for greater efficiency in resource and energy consumption, localization, and the fast-growing Internet of Things. Regional stimulus programs will also add further opportunities. Now, let us take a look at our addressable market. We expect annual growth in this market to total around 7% until 2027 on today's basis of just under 500 billion. Our software business and digital services have potential for double-digit growth. initial growth rates will be higher due to inflation, and we expect this curve to flatten over time. We strengthen and optimize our portfolio also in the future by investing organically in our business and by making targeted, tailor-made acquisitions and selected divestments. Through close collaboration Siemens-wide, we are pioneering the development and adoption of the latest technologies. Good examples are generative artificial intelligence, the industrial metaverse, and additive manufacturing. In other words, industrial 3D printing. Over the next 5 years, the additional growth potential for digital industries, smart infrastructure, and mobility in their addressable markets will be around €175 billion. We expect around 60% of this potential growth to be in the US, the EU, China, and India. These examples show that we are continuing to drive and strengthen our diversification. Localization is a high priority within this diversification process. We are allocating our resources in development, the supply chain, manufacturing, and service activities specifically to regional growth markets. Smart infrastructure and mobility are currently expanding their capacities in the US and Europe. For example, we recently announced the construction of a new rolling stock factory in North Carolina. Digital Industries is leveraging its flexible twin factories concept to optimize and expand production in China and Germany. If market opportunities arise, we'll continue taking further steps to expand. I was in India just recently. It's our fastest growing major region. Market growth in the country is currently 11% a year. In this important market, we are upgrading and digitalizing our manufacturing capacities. India is also a key hub for software development, engineering and services for our global business. We are continuously expanding in these areas. To give you an idea, Siemens employs more than 30,000 people in India, about the same number as in China. If you were in Hanover this year, you'll have seen for yourselves how strong our innovative strength is, how closely our people work with customers, and how committed our team Siemens is. One highlight was the expansion of Siemens Xcelerator, our open digital business platform. We introduced Industrial Operations X, a portfolio of new interoperable applications and solutions for more flexible productions. We also introduced new cloud-based offerings for Building X, our portfolio of digital solutions for smart and sustainable buildings. One highlight of Industrial Operations X was the launch of our first virtual SIMATIC controller. This launch is a milestone for software-based automation, which enables customers to use IT technologies in order to manage specific applications in their manufacturing operations. The second pillar of Siemens Xcelerator is our growing ecosystem. At Hanover Fair, we announced important new partnerships in this area. We are expanding our partnership with Microsoft. We are using generative artificial intelligence to drive productivity. We are working with IBM to integrate software solutions for development optimizations. And we are cooperating with Festo, a leader in pneumatic manufacturing solutions, among many others. At our annual shareholders meeting, I talked about the tremendous opportunities in the extremely fast-growing battery market. Siemens can help manufacturers produce faster and more sustainably and scale up. In Hanover, we announced the holistic partnership with Freyr. This partnership involves product development, simulation and production planning in order to build and operate Freyr's planned gigafactories in Norway and the US. This is a great example of how our digital industries and smart infrastructure offerings come together. Our customer base in battery manufacturing is constantly growing, with established players in Asia such as CATL and LG Energy Solution, and many EU or US-focused companies such as Northvolt, Morrow, and ACC. I'm also very proud that Cellforce has chosen Siemens. Well, it is a high-end battery manufacturer that is majority owned by Porsche. This partnership was just announced on Monday. Our digital business is on a strong growth trajectory and stands at €3.4 billion after the first 6 months. We are fully on track to exceed 10% growth for the full year, despite the ongoing SaaS transition at Digital Industries. I've already mentioned that we're significantly expanding our Siemens Xcelerator portfolio. This move will support further growth. However, acquisitions like Skills, which has now been integrated into our Siemens Mobility portfolio, also contributing to this growth. Skills is expanding its customer base in North America. Brightline, a long-time rolling stock customer, will now use S3 Passenger, a leading inventory and reservation booking software. This Florida rail operator aims to use this software to scale up its services and improve seat booking. We're continuing to see good progress in the strategic transition of Digital Industries' product lifecycle business to software as a service. Let me highlight just a few examples. As I mentioned before, we are fully on track with the transition. Cloud ARR accounts for 24% of total ARR, and our cloud business has tripled year over year. Even customers who previously had perpetual licenses and related maintenance contracts are now converting to the SaaS model. More than 7,500 customers have signed on to the software as a service business model. The number of small and medium-sized businesses, including startups, is rising further. And I can say almost 75% of these companies are new customers, clear evidence of our ability to expand our existing customer base. If we only look at the volume of contracts in the transformation, the number was temporarily lower in Q2. This decline was due to two major customers retaining their previous contract types because of their specific requirements. Greater sustainability is very important to our customers. How can we increase sustainability and help our customers in this regard? By bringing together Siemens core technologies, our domain know-how, and the synergies within our company. With 11 core technologies, including simulation and digital twins, data analytics, and artificial intelligence, automation, and additive manufacturing. All our businesses are co-developing these technologies and deploying them at our customers. Here are a few excellent examples. Daimler Truck intends to launch an integrated digital engineering platform worldwide and has decided to build it using Siemens Xcelerator software and services portfolio. Teamcenter and our NX design software will be used for this purpose. This project involves the development and lifecycle management of Daimler Truck's carbon neutral truck and bus fleet. Let's go back for a moment to the booming battery market. The US-based company Scora Power will ramp up its 12 gigawatt hours battery cell production facility in Arizona. To achieve this goal, the company is counting on a comprehensive set of our solutions. We are delivering electrical infrastructure and energy management systems, which will enable automated building operations. We are also delivering the digital twin, factory automation and simulation software. This holistic approach will help digitalize the entire battery value chain from design to production to services. In addition, Service Financial Services is providing financial expertise and has also invested in Core Power itself. This approach also applies to vertical farming, in other words, growing food indoors. In this field, we are combining smart infrastructure with automation technology and providing support with digitalization and artificial intelligence. As a result, we are creating an optimal environment for growth, meaning every day is a perfect day for the plants. A good example is the vertical farm recently opened in Bustanica, the largest in the Middle East. This farm uses 95% less water and no pesticides or chemicals. It produces 1 million kilograms of fresh lettuce and spinach every year for Emirates Airlines. And finally, let me highlight a rail order in Singapore. For more than €300 million, we are supplying, among other things, a digital signaling system that will enable driverless trains and increase passenger numbers. And another very current example, Deutsche Bahn, the German rail operator, announced today that it's placed an order for a further 17 ICE3neo trains. This order has a volume of around 600 million euros, which was already booked in Q2. In this way, we're helping to get more people to take the train and reduce environment burdens. Now, in order to consume fewer resources and operate in a climate-neutral manner, partnerships in constantly growing ecosystems are a must. A good example is the foundation of Cofinity X, a joint venture comprising 10 partners from the automotive industry. This partnership aims to create the largest collaborative and open data network in the automotive industry. Here, too, we'll apply our know-how. We are offering an open digital marketplace and applications for end-to-end data chains that make it possible to trace material flows or the carbon footprint. And I'm very happy that Together for Sustainability, an initiative of 47 chemical companies, including BASF and Dow, will cooperate with Siemens to move the chemical industry towards carbon neutrality. It was announced yesterday that they'll use C-Green, our digital and data-secure carbon footprint management solution, and in this way, we are helping an entire industry to become more sustainable. Our business in software for managing and controlling power grids is collaborating with Energy Hub. Together, we are building the next generation of distributed energy resource management. Mobility's air-free brake system won the prestigious German Innovation Award. This system helps make train operation more sustainable and efficient. We are receiving awards for innovation and leading in this year's patent statistics, further evidence of our top position in innovation. All these examples also testify to our company culture's ongoing transformation. Siemens has substantially increased its clock speed. We are strong in implementation, and as a result, we are meeting the high expectations we've set for ourselves. And with that, I'll hand over to Ralf Thomas, and he's going to give you more details about our operational performance and the outlook for fiscal 2023. Ralf.
All right, thank you very much, Roland, and also a good morning to all of you ladies and gentlemen. Let me now share some further details on how we actually capitalized on our excellent execution in the second quarter, which, of course, put us in a position to raise our outlook for fiscal 2023 yet again. Now, we'll start with the digital industries results. Investment sentiment remains healthy in our key markets. We saw the expected normalization of order patterns in our automation businesses at high levels. At 5.3 billion euros in total, digital industries orders were down 10%, which resulted in a book-to-bill ratio of 0.95 for DI overall. DI software business posted a rise in the mid-20s, benefiting from larger contract wins and from contract renewals that came in earlier than expected in some cases. As a result, digital industries' strong order backlog decreased moderately to almost 14 billion euros. The automation businesses accounted for more than 9.5 billion euros of this amount, which is only 700 million euros lower than the peak levels at the end of Q1. Customer cancellations continued to be marginal only, and we expect more than 8 billion euros of digital industries backlog to convert into revenue in the second half of fiscal 2023. Which, of course, gives us extremely high confidence and a relatively high visibility going forward. In addition, we assume that our customers' order patterns will continue to normalize in the second half of fiscal 2023 with an emphasis on Q3. As indicated before, this normalization will lead to a book-to-bill ratio below 1, resulting in a gradual reduction of order backlog in automation accompanied by a reduction of delivery times. Now, nevertheless, we continue to anticipate a relatively high level of order backlog at the end of fiscal 2023, which will also give us a clear perspective at the beginning of fiscal 2024 for our continuing growth trajectory. But let's now turn to digital industries revenue, which was up a stunning 23%. In the automation businesses, revenue even rose to a 26%. Component availability improved further, especially for our high-margin products. In addition, the team again did an excellent job of running the factories at high utilization and optimized production output. However, we will stay alert, and we will continue to keep a very close eye on all aspects of the supply chain. The AI software business accelerated after a somewhat slower start in Q1 and achieved 11% growth. Digital Industries' profit margin was outstanding with 23.5%. As a result, we were at an all-time high quarterly result operationally, and we were even above our target margin corridor. The performance was boosted by the automation businesses in particular, while the software business, as expected, had a somewhat softer quarter, in part due to the transition to SaaS transitions, which is also continuing to proceed as planned. Now, we expect the software business's performance to improve in the second half of fiscal 2023. DI's automation businesses also converted the rising revenue into growing profit margins, an outstanding achievement by the team, which truly has flawless execution capabilities. In this connection, positive impact came from the optimized capacity utilization as well as a very favorable business mix on improved availability of components for high-margin products. Productivity gains and price increases from the previous quarters even enabled us to more than compensate for cost inflation in the second quarter. Although wages and salaries, as well as other types of costs, will continue to increase over the next quarters, and we are very confident that we will also be able to keep the so-called economic equation net positive throughout fiscal 2023 as well. Our investments in cloud technology accounted for 75 million euros in Q2, amounting to 140 basis points of negative impact on DI. In total, we continue to expect around 300 million euros of cloud investments for fiscal 2023. When it comes to the free cash flow, the DI team fully lived up to its commitment to achieve a material catch-up and posted an excellent result of 1.2 billion euros, along with a cash conversion rate that, at 0.91, was even well above the targeted levels. Operating working capital, in particular with regards to inventories, is still intentionally at an elevated level to safeguard our high-quality revenue growth. Let's look now at DI's key vertical end markets. For the next quarters, we expect continuing growth momentum, which will be partially driven by price inflation and will result from order backlog execution. We are very closely monitoring the underlying real investment sentiment, which has remained positive for our customer industry so far. Our teams are close to our customers and to our markets. So we are staying vigilant to react quickly if need be. Now let me give you the regional perspective on our strong growth in orders and revenue in the automation business. As mentioned, automation orders normalized at a high level compared to a strong prior year quarter, which you can see on the corresponding slide in the presentation. This normalization was most notably visible in Europe and China, where the strong demand in Q2 of fiscal 2022 had materially benefited from pull-forward effects. We explained it, I'm sure you remember, previously. Now, the order development in China was very volatile in this quarter. Some aftermath from the COVID pandemic was still noticeable, and on top of that, in anticipation of price increases, some orders had been pulled forward into Q1 of fiscal 2023. The start into Q3 is signaling a further normalization, as we expected, because delivery times are shortening again, as is very desirable, and our distributors are reducing their stock levels. Outstanding revenue growth in the automation business was broad-based across all regions. The corresponding slide shows the details on this growth. Looking ahead, our teams are fully committed to leveraging improved global component availability for stringent and optimized backlog conversion, and ultimately to further improve delivery times for our customers. We expect Digital Industries to continue its fantastic performance of the first half year. As a result, we are raising our full-year guidance for revenue growth by 5 percentage points and thus to a target range of 17-20%. We are further narrowing the outlook for the profit margin and raising it by 200 basis points at midpoint to between 22.5 and 23.5%. Now, from today's perspective, our expectation for the third quarter is that revenue growth will be within the raised full-year guidance. Furthermore, we expect the profit margin to approach the lower end of the updated target range. For Q3, we expect DI's software business to show revenue growth rate below Q2 levels, depending on the timing of large orders that are expected in the electronic design automation or EDA business. And actually, from today's perspective, we expect that the majority of these orders are going to be realized in Q4. DI's profitability will slightly improve in comparison to Q1 of fiscal 2023. However, it will continue to be impacted by our SaaS transition. For Q4, we expect a material rise in profitability, mainly due to the large orders in the EDA business. Now let's move to smart infrastructure and a truly fantastic Q2 performance. Our SI team delivered excellent growth in orders and revenue in robust end markets. Profitability rose to another quarterly all-time high, combined with an excellent cash conversion rate. In total, orders were up 9%, driven by exceptionally strong 34% growth in the electrification business. This growth was fueled by a series of larger orders from data centers, the semiconductor industry, and customers in the area of power distribution. Overall, this rise led to a very healthy book-to-bill ratio of 1.13. Revenue growth reached a remarkable 21%, with the largest contributions coming from the electrical products and electrification businesses, which were up 28% equally. In Q2, the SI team again managed their supply and logistic chains very successfully, and as a result, this was Smart Infrastructure's best quarter ever, with a profit margin of 15.9%. The margin was up 480 basis points year over year, which means it was at the top range of the target corridor of 11 to 16%. Now, these strong results benefited from economies of scale based on accelerated revenue growth, optimized capacity utilization, as well as ongoing cost improvements from SI's competitiveness program. Pricing actions and productivity improvements more than compensated for headwinds from cost inflation, mainly from increases in wages and salaries. As already indicated in our February call, free cash flow rebounded very much so after a somewhat softer first quarter, and the cash conversion rate was excellent despite substantial revenue growth at 1.02. Operating working capital was stabilized with lower receivables, and in the course of Q2, we started to reduce the temporary inventory buildup that we had deliberately left at higher levels. Smart Infrastructure will continue to see strong cash performance in the second half of fiscal 2023 as well. As with Digital Industries, we continue to see nominal growth in all key verticals at Smart Infrastructure as well. This growth is also substantially fueled by higher prices and by backlog execution. We are closely watching the trends that underpin this growth and continue to see robust demand with real-term growth in all our major verticals. Please refer to the corresponding slide in the presentation for further details on this particular topic. Now, looking at the regional top-line development, we actually see a broad-based order momentum. In Germany, we saw, as we reported in connection with Q1 previously, we saw a reversal of technical shifting effects. In Q2, this reversal resulted in a negative impact of around 21 percentage points on orders. And in China, we were on the side able to see some initial signs of recovery compared to a weak prior year quarter after the COVID policy was revised there. Orders rose by 11%. Revenue, too, increased across the board, with the most impressive 29% growth again from the United States. At this point, I would like to point out that Smart Infrastructure has also developed a performance track record that is extremely impressive, also in comparison with our competitors. Among other things, SI has gained market leadership in the medium voltage systems business and holds a strong number two position in the electrical products business. And I congratulate the entire SI team on these outstanding achievements, and I'm looking forward to seeing how things develop in the future. Now, for the second half of fiscal 2023, we continue to expect robust customer demand at SI. However, we do assume that there will be a certain normalization in the product business because concerns about the supply chains, which have been strained until now, are being alleviated here, and as a result, our customers are optimizing their inventories. We also continue to see sequential revenue growth on high levels at SI. However, year-over-year growth rates are gradually decelerating due to the very high levels from our corresponding prior quarters. Now, we also expect that the so-called economic equation will remain net positive for the second half of fiscal 2023, but less pronounced than in the first half due to the increasing effects from cost inflation. After a stellar first half of the fiscal year at Smart Infrastructure, we are actually raising our full-year guidance for revenue growth by 500 basis points compared to the lower end of the previous corridor. We're also narrowing the target range and now expect a figure between 14 and 16%. We assume that the profit margin will be between 14.5 and 15.5%, which corresponds to an increase of 100 basis points. The third quarter will be characterized, therefore, by a rigorous processing of the order backlog. As a result, we expect the revenue growth rate and the profit margin to be within the raised target range for the full year guidance. Mobility delivered an outstanding quarter with regard to orders and revenue. At 6.2 billion euros, orders marked an all-time quarterly high. They included, among others, the previously mentioned major wins for locomotives in India and large orders for signaling systems in Singapore, which led to an exceptional book-to-bill ratio of 2.32. The order backlog stands at 39 billion euros overall, with healthy growth margins. And our order pipeline continues to look very promising for the next quarters across all of our mobility's business activities. Overall, revenue, of course, was up by a substantial 33% on double-digit growth in all businesses led by the rolling stock business. The prior year quarter, of course, had been impacted by an exceptionally strong decline in revenue as a result of the sanction against Russia. The Russia impact added 13 percentage points to the growth rate for Q2. Mobility's profit margin was at 9.2%. It benefited from the trailing effects of 78 million euros related to Russia, which were largely eaten up by the accruals for incentive payments and by less favorable composition of the business due to the product mix. Without these effects, operational performance was at around 8%. Now, Mobility's free cash flow of 2.2 billion euros was impacted negatively by a lower level of larger project down payments and by shifts in the timing of some customer payments. We expect a clear catch-up effect in the second half of 2023, starting in Q3. Now, after a strong first half year with order backlog execution faster than expected, we are therefore lifting our full-year guidance for revenue growth to between 10 and 12%. We still expect the profit margin to be between 8 and 10%. Now, for Q3, we expect revenue growth at the lower end of the raised full-year guidance. We assume that the profit margin will be within the guided corridor. More specifically, we expect it to be between 8 and 9%. Ladies and gentlemen, let me keep the perspective on the results below our industrial business crisp. You will find more details in the full earnings bridge on page 26 of the presentation. You know this, but I would just like to briefly say this. Siemens Financial Services enjoys very robust positioning thanks to prudent risk management and delivered a strong second quarter. I am especially pleased with the further improvement in the operational performance within our portfolio companies. The announced carve-out of the combined Innomotics business is also progressing according to plan. With regard to our Siemens Energy investment, we partially reversed the impairment that we had recorded in fiscal 2022, which led to a special non-cash gain of 1.6 billion euros. After the capital increase by Siemens Energy, which, as you know, Siemens did not participate in, our stake in Siemens Energy was diluted from 35.1% to 31.9%. And for this reason, Siemens recorded an additional non-cash gain of 235 million euros. Now, for free cash flow, we achieved a material catch-up effect compared to Q1, as we said we would. And this strong performance, I believe, really shows clear evidence that we do keep our promises. And operating working capital was largely stable despite greater business opportunities. Strong collection of customer payments compensated for the growth-related and temporary inventory buildup that we have reported on several times, and we expect to gradually lower this level of inventory in the coming quarters. Excluding the non-cash impairment reversal effect that I just mentioned in connection with our Siemens Energy investment, the cash conversion rate for Siemens generally was on a very high level of 1.2. We continue to expect another strong cash performance for full fiscal 2023. Now let me conclude with our outlook on the group level. We delivered very consistently on the ambitious commitments and targets shared in November and further updated our outlook after a flying start in Q1. Our teams have done an excellent job at processing our backlog rigorously. As a result, revenue and profitability for the first half of fiscal 2023 rose even higher than we had expected initially when we last reported to you. We assume that we will be able to generate 30 billion euros in revenue in the second half of fiscal 2023 from our extremely strong order backlog. And with this relatively high level of visibility and planning security, we are decidedly confident as we enter the second half of our fiscal year. Therefore, we are raising our guidance for fiscal 2023 significantly and are further narrowing our target corridor. For the Siemens Group, we are now expecting comparable revenue growth in the range of 9% to 11% and corresponds to an increase of 200 basis points compared to the lower end of the previous corridor. The book-to-bill ratio we continue to expect above 1. We also expect this profitable growth of our industrial businesses to drive an increase in earnings per share before purchase price allocation or PPA, accounting to a range of 9.60 euros to 9.90 euros in fiscal 2023. This range previously was expected between 8.90 euros and 9.40 euros. This, of course, excludes the 2.01 euros per share resulting from partial reversal of the previous impairments on Siemens' stake on Siemens Energy AG. Of course, we also continue to monitor macroeconomic and political volatility closely and are in a position to act swiftly if need be. So, in a nutshell, I can say the course is set for a strong half of fiscal 2023. Thank you very much. And with that, back to Florian Martens for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thomas and Roland Busch. Now we've got time until 9 a.m. for your questions. For technical reasons, however, we cannot mix English and German questions. We therefore are going to start with the German questions. If you are in the English room, please ask your questions in English and we're going to answer them in English. Now back to the operator, who is going to explain to you how you can ask your questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Martens. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Just a moment for the first question. The first question comes from Axel Höppner from the Handelsblatt. Please, your question.
Yes, thank you very much and good morning. I've got a question about the portfolio.
I think there's nothing new to report on. We've got our orders and we have to separate things. We are fully on track. And furthermore, there isn't any news in this respect about the portfolio, I already said. And of course, we are investing organically based on strong technologies. And, you know, we've got the idea that we'll look at bolt-on acquisitions, that is smaller acquisitions, which are going to round off our portfolio and help us further. And of course, this does not exclude any major acquisitions. This is quite clear. Value generation, this is what's, say, center stage. And surely, we focus on our key issues like digitalization of software and what we call connected hardware. This is what we want to focus on, and I believe that this is a matter of course. Thank you.
To the next question, Alexander Hübner from Reuters, please.
Well, this is almost identical with what my colleague asked. Specifically, there were some reports that, you know, the airport logistics spin-off, that some dynamism has been introduced in all of the operations of the business. Is there anything special, meaning you commissioned a bank? And so I would like to know what has changed for you from your perspective.
Mr. Hübner, thank you very much for this opportunity to give you more details. Like Mr. Busch said, nothing has changed. Right from the beginning, we said that for our portfolio companies, we are always looking for the best owners. So this is not really a surprise that at this point, we also think about this. Surely, I was surprised when reading that we commissioned a bank, you know, trying to find a customer. And in the same article, all these buyers have been listed. So I asked myself, what, you know, why should I pay the banks if everyone knows about everything already? Could you help in this respect? So implicitly, this means that you mandated or commissioned a bank. Implicitly, this means that these purchases are being supported by the media. Well, this happens frequently, doesn't it?
Next question, please. The next question comes from Christoph Riermeier, DPA.
Good morning. I've got a classical question, so to speak, and this refers to Siemens Healthineers. The price is where it was in the beginning, so you could slowly.
Well, Mr. Riermeier, thank you very much for this classical question, and you will get the classical answer. I'm sure you expect that anyway. So when we had the IPO of Siemens Energy, we said that we are going to support this company to stabilize operations. And at the very beginning, we said that after 12 to 18 months, we are going to think about, you know, divesting some of the holdings depending on the market conditions. And this kind of divestment has been implemented, you know, Siemens Energy has implemented a capital raise in the Siemens Gamesa shares. Here, the situation was not quite clear at the beginning, and then they started doing everything. So there is a situation now which is more stable, and surely some and all of the challenges Siemens Gamesa faced are under control now. So I believe that it is a justified expectation to, you know, comment on how we are going to handle the shares. We said that by the end of the fiscal year, once everything has been completed, we would like to raise capital and do other things. So please be patient, bear with us, and until we tell you how we are going to handle this. But the 9.9%, which was our stake in the Siemens Energy portfolio, have been sold completely. So the process has started already, although not directly, you know, coming from Siemens AG, but, you know, through a pension fund. But again, we are quite sure that we are doing the right thing for the stake and shareholders, and that this is a good development for them.
Thank you. The next question, Wilfried Eckl-Dorna from Umberg.
Good morning. I just got a short question. In Digital Industries or in this division, you had a decrease of incoming orders. Maybe you could explain what the reason is, meaning
that in one of the most important business units, order intake has gone down clearly. And how things might work out during the rest of the fiscal year.
Well, Mr. Hickener, this is a very important question, and I would like to give you more details. We expected this decline, the market and all our competitors, let me call it like this, faced the special economic conditions this year, last year, and they didn't think that this will be a permanent situation. So we are not really surprised. If you look at the annual growth rates, looking at the order intake as well as revenue, then you will see that we really have very, say, ambitious prior year values. And in my presentation, I also said that delivery times, the shortage of certain materials and their availability and all the logistics chains, because of the coronavirus situation, here the situation was quite tense, and the result was that delivery times, neither for us nor for the customers, were, say, satisfying. Everything was, protracted. And, if you look at the order intake, particularly the previous quarterlies, and of course you also have to take into account some psychological aspect. If you can't get everything that you want to get, then you order a bit more. And this means the order backlog has, really risen considerably. 14 billion is what we said in automation, 9.5 billion. And this order backlog is to be reduced over the next few quarters. And we reported on this in great detail. This is a desirable development with shorter order times, more reliable supply chains, and this means we want to reduce the order backlog level to a more normal level and, taking into account or rather, shedding all of, say, the mental or the psychological aspects. At the end, I can say this was not a surprise. And you can be sure that this will continue to normalize over the next few quarters. This is what I mentioned in my presentation. It refers to the development in the industries and isn't a reason for, say, high worries or concerns. You mentioned the -10% order intake. Let me give you the growth rates of last year, Q1, Q2, Q3. +67%, +32%, +32%. So I believe this -10% can be seen in relative terms. Now, last question of the German conference, and then we are going to change the English questions. Next question, Michael Flämig from the Börsen-Zeitung, please.
Good morning, Mr. Busch. Good morning, Mr. Thomas. Good morning, Mr. Martens. I've got a question about the second quarter economic equations and the Russia business. You described quite impressively which profit records were achieved, and maybe there were different components which promoted this development. You said that order intake is normalizing. Now, what about the revenue increase? Which level do you expect without these, say, straw fire effects? That is, if you look at the levels now, economic equations, positive is what you said. And the ECB a month ago stated that they cannot simply interpret all of these in inflation rates, and there might be a pricing power of the major companies which is too high. And could you comment on this, to what extent and why you increased prices so that we can get a better understanding of, say, various revenue levels? Russia business, you mentioned that. Could you comment on that more?
Let me start with the last question, Mr. Flämig. Last year, in the second quarter last year, we had a considerable revenue decrease last year because of the sanctions. And because of that, we had an extremely low point of departure. This year, this current year, this effect, which I mentioned, did not happen. And this means
quarter-over-quarter, we can say that there is some kind of exaggerated increase. Disregarding this, then we still have a 20% growth at Mobility, very strong actually. And this catching up effect, you know, with a view to components and COVID, et cetera, et cetera. So the situation has eased off a little, but nevertheless, the growth rates is one which cannot be repeated from quarter to quarter. But the Russia effect, you know, that's a comparative artifact from last year, so to speak. And now, second question. ECB. Surely, they've got a lot to do at present, and they find it difficult, and they're really fighting hard to, say, fight inflation. So the question might be, maybe they should have tackled all this a bit earlier. You see, we have high inflation rates last year. We faced these inflation rates, and you have to work under these conditions. Then surely you have to handle or have to introduce what we call the economic equation. Although during times with lower inflation rates, we still have the price increases, and we would like to handle that through productivity increases and other aspects. And if things work out, then any negative effects have to be cushioned out by price increases. And surely here we are also interested in productivity increases. And look at the industrial business, then this is certainly a milestone in order to show us and others that productivity increases are possible when offering our services and our products. Sometimes we call it, you know, drink your own champagne. This is what we said. Everything's all right in this respect. In addition, we adjusted prices simply to take into account the price inflation. And in the previous quarter and in the quarter before the previous quarter, we said that the profit maximization was not the target, but it was all about compensating the rising inflation rates if there weren't any other compensatory measures. And last quarter, I also quantified that increased wage and salaries to the tune of 6%, which we expect this year, will, you know, or correspond to the level which we expected. This seems not quite all right because, you know, these costs go up and pricing is stored first, and this means it is not possible to have a complete compensatory effect during every quarter. Last year, in the second half, we fought handling everything and managing everything, and now we've got this net positive effect. This is what we are working with, but the objective is not, like the ECB is afraid of, this is not to achieve pricing power or dominance. No, we want to achieve competitive edges and, you see, work faster or more than the competition. And now the first question. Well, surely we have got these effects after coronavirus pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. But you see, we have a five-year plan. We had a closer look at the markets. And today we can say that we've got about 500 billion. And over the next 5 years, we're going to grow by an average of 7% on average. So this is a kind of guideline. And like in the past, we are going to gain market shares. So you might say 7% is a very good yardstick. We want to gain market shares. And of course, we also initiated several stimulus programs, and we cannot, you know, judge how effective they will be. Industrial batteries, semiconductors, computer centers, etc. This is what we are working on. And this also means that you can, you know, think about the growth rates. All right. Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up question about Russia? It's less about revenue, but more profit. You mentioned 78 million positive, profit effect currently. I hope I understood everything correctly. Well, you see, it's like this. We have some effects. We had to initiate measures. We had to take into account the sanctions which have been, you know, put in place. And in some places, we dissolved things because some of the sanctions meant that we would have been disowned here or there, and therefore we didn't have our property. Surely we've smoothed out things, and this also meant that some of the things we did had a defect on revenue. You know, Russia is a big business, particularly for mobility, and this also reflected in a higher amount in terms of revenue as well as the profit. But this is something which is not going to happen again, and we just want to give you full transparency in this respect, i.e. the effects of the previous year, top and bottom line, have to be seen in relative terms, but nevertheless they are still a very regrettable negative development. Yes, thank you very much. All right, thank you. And like announced, we are now going to change the English conference, and the operator is going to change to the English conference. It takes some time. There will be a short break, so please be patient with us. And now I hand over to the operator for the change. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question in the English room, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. The first question is from the line of John Revill with Reuters. Your question, please.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my questions. Just a quick follow-up on the Siemens Energy situation. Can you just give us a little bit more colour on what's the plan moving forward then? I think I understood that you want to review your investment by the end of this fiscal year, but what ideas are you looking at? Kind of a block sale or selling off gradually, or what's the kind of plan there? That's my first question. And then the second one is, with this absolutely enormous order backlog you've got now, what sort of problems does that create? Any kind of, I mean, obviously it gives you quite a lot of security, but what kind of problems does it kind of create? I mean, do you have to kind of, you know, keeping customers happy while they're waiting, or does that kind of create any issues for you guys moving forward? Thank you.
Thanks, John. With regard to Siemens Energy shares, I didn't say that we will think about it at the end of the year. I said we will communicate our plan way forward. We are thinking about that diligently and permanently, of course, and what I wanted to say is what I said before. We have a clear understanding that we will sell down our shareholding in Siemens Energy over the course of time. We are going to do that in a well-adjusted way, accompanying the relationship we have to the company. There was operational relationship in the very beginning, unwinding, you know, IT sharing and stuff like that that has been completed. Meanwhile, we also said there is parental company guarantees that are in the process of unwinding over the course of the years with the projects underlying proceeding in that regard. So it's a natural process. It's hard to imagine that from today's perspective, we could predict how and when exactly which portion of our shareholding is going to be divested. And I also mentioned that the pension plan, the pension fund of Siemens, has been selling down their portion of the Siemens Energy shares very successfully without any noise and major impact on the share price development. Therefore, this kind of pattern is suggesting itself to be continued. And we will share more details with you at the end of our fiscal year, most likely with our November press conference. That's, I think, a meaningful timing. Yeah. Then when it comes to backlog is a luxury problem, if you will. On that level, of course, it will not stay there. And the implicit challenge you already have been mentioning, that is about getting that executed meaningfully. We are doing our utmost to serve our customers as soon as possible. Delivery times will, thanks God, go down again under the stabilization of the logistical chains and supply chains grand total. So it's a very meaningful process that has been initiated that's going to last for some time. It will not be unwound throughout one or two quarters. So we expect that the situation is getting better for both customers and ourselves, with meaningful delivery times, more reliability in the supply chain. And that process, I do expect, will take a minimum of 4 quarters, maybe more, to come to the new normal then. And till then, we will keep you posted with as many details as we can share, as we did in this quarter. So when it comes to book-to-bill, yeah, that's the implicit part on the new orders and revenues part. We said that, for example, for DI, we are expecting a book-to-bill for the full fiscal year between 0.9 and 0.95, with a first half year of book-to-bill accumulated of 1.09, you may expect that in the second half of the year, therefore, book-to-bill will be below 0.9. It's a natural, well-anticipated, and stabilized process.
Right. And then just going back to the energy situation, I mean, will Siemens retain any, do you want to retain any kind of part of energy then, or is it going to be a gradual sell-down of everything, do you think?
What we said is from the very beginning, unlike Siemens Healthineers, Siemens intends to step out of Siemens Energy in the long run, but that will take a while. Yeah, it's a massive shareholding we have. There's also, if I may put it that way, joint interest for both Siemens Energy and ourselves to make this a progress that is processing smoothly and under control. And therefore, we are not in a hurry, but we will divest the shareholding in Siemens Energy in the long run completely.
Right, excellent. And you, that's Ralph, isn't it? You're right, that's Ralph.
Thank you.
Was that Ralph speaking? Was that Ralph speaking?
This was Ralph speaking.
Yeah, good. So thank you.
Very welcome.
Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody. Our press call is now coming to an end, and our conference call for analysts with Roland and Ralph will start at 9:30. You can listen to it live at siemens.com/analyst call. We wish you all a very nice day and hear you again at the latest on August 10th for our third quarter results. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. A recording will be posted at siemens.com/conference call. We say thank you and auf Wiedersehen.